Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit and earned a doctorate of dental surgery from the University of Michigan. He served our country for 30 years in the Navy and Marine Corps, rising to the dental officer of the Marine Corps. Today, he's the director of Horizon Upward Bound, a successful collaboration between Cranbrook Schools and public schools in metropolitan Detroit that provide academic enrichment and college access to low-income students. His name, Dr. Daryl Taylor. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760, WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Dr. Daryl Taylor, who's the director of Horizon Upward Bound out of Cranbrook Schools. Doctor, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, sir. It's an honor to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood?
Yes, sir.
And your mom, who you adore to this day.
Yes, sir. I grew up in the inner city, the Jefferson Projects in Detroit. My mom, she gave birth to 8 kids. I was the 3rd youngest. I just remember the fact that she was a very hardworking, dedicated woman who had the family foremost in her life. And a lot of my success is directly because she cared so much and she believed so much in all of her kids.
What's the biggest thing she taught you, Daryl?
The biggest thing she taught me was perseverance and never give up and love.
It's 1967. You're a teenager living in the inner city. And Cranbrook Schools in Bloomfield Hills, 15 miles away but like another world away, start something called HUB, Horizon Upward Bound, and they select you as one of the first students. How did that ever come about?
Mr. Benavides, I never will forget my junior physical education teacher, junior high physical education teacher. I was always a good ball player, and he said, Daryl, there's more in life than being a ball player. The truth of the matter is when Cranbrook or Horizons Upward Bound interviewed me, I was placed on the alternate list. So when that happened, I simply went home and really didn't think too much about it. And then that phone call came that changed my life. And it basically said that I was admitted to Horizons Upward Bound. And it has been a program that has been the centerpiece in everything I've succeeded with in my life.
You drive up Woodward. You go to Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. You go on this Cranbrook campus, which is like a square mile. What was that like?
Unbelievable. And I tell you, the remarkable thing, my mom, once again, she was a maid who worked out in the Bloomfield Hills community. And I can remember her bringing various Cranbrook paraphernalia to the house, a jacket, a blackboard, pieces of paper, talking about this school, Cranbrook. So when I set foot on the campus, it was almost a premonition of something that guided my life to that campus. And it was absolutely unbelievable.
I quote you now, growing up poor is one of the greatest things that made me successful.
Yes, sir. The best way I can explain it, sir, is that when you have little, or maybe you and some people's eyes, you have nothing, you grow to appreciate the little things that people can't really see what you have. For example, my mom, my dad, loving family, even though we didn't eat well sometimes, we still had a group setting in our household. understood and really valued the concepts of friendship, being in a group. So as I've grown and I've achieved a little bit, my happiest days, truthfully, sir, was when I was pouring the projects and we just had each other, but we had love.
You then go in the military. You serve our nation for 30 years in the Navy and the Marines. Talk about that world-class chapter in your life.
Sir, one of my greatest experiences. I love my country. It was an honor for me to serve in the Navy. I was in the Navy for 30 years. I worked with the Marine Corps for 22 years, best organization in the world, to really get a chance to give back to a country that gave me and my family so much. It was truly one of the highlights of my career. And I'll tell anybody any day, proud to be an American, proud to be a veteran.
This is a national holiday that we're in the middle of. You love our country. You've served our country for 30 years. Can you tell us the words to God Bless America?
Yes, I can. God bless America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, the land that I love.
What do those words mean to you, Dr. Darrell Taylor?
It means that I was very fortunate to be born an American. I was also very fortunate to have a chance to express my love for this great country. And every night when I go to bed, I understand that as an American, I have a debt to my country and to the people of this country. And this is what I try and repay every day.
We're talking to Darrell Taylor, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Dr. Darrell Taylor, who served our nation for 30 years in the Navy and Marine Corps, and he rose to the dental officer of the Marine Corps. How did that ever happen?
Within the Navy, it's a very competitive process, but it's a fair process. The best way I can explain that is I feel through hard work, through dedication, through leadership, I was afforded that opportunity. Once again, for me, working with the Marine Corps, the best organization in the world, it was really an honor to assume that position. And if you don't mind, Jack, let me just say this. I got so much from serving with the Navy and the Marine Corps that once I was in that position, once again, for me, it was about taking care of the troops, taking care of my country, and providing the best dental service that we could possibly provide to our troops.
Talk to us, Dr. Taylor, about the terrific job our young heroes in the military are doing today.
My pleasure. I wish people could understand that when a young man or a young woman enlists in the Marine Corps or the Navy or any branch of service, they're really looking for a purpose, and the armed service gives them that purpose. So many of our kids, they become frustrated, they become lost within their communities, within their neighborhoods, and then they find that such great opportunities exist within our military service that once they get there and they find that it's an even playing field, and that you can actually be the best you can be, it really excites them. And what I can tell you, Jack, so many young people who probably would have looked at themselves as failures, or perhaps other individuals look at them as failures, they've gone on to have great careers in the Navy and really be very beneficial to our country.
You mentioned a couple minutes ago that the best organization in the world is the Marine Corps. There's a pride amongst Marines. An unbelievable pride. Whether they're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 80, 90 years old, they keep it for the rest of their life. Why?
Once you believe in something, Jack, it stays with you forever. The Marine Corps ethos is one of honor, courage, and commitment. And those are more than just mere words. It's a way of life, and they demonstrate it every single time. Now, I don't want to indicate that I didn't enjoy myself with the Navy or that the Navy didn't really display that same type. But I'm Marine Corps, first in, always suffering the greatest amount of casualties. It takes a certain individual to wear that uniform. And I've come to respect that uniform. I've come to admire that uniform. And once again, our Marine Corps, they stand first in my mind. But all of our military service members really make a tremendous contribution to this country.
I've had a great honor twice to fly out to the Atlantic Ocean, about 200-300 miles out, to the Big Stick, the Teddy Roosevelt, a nuclear aircraft carrier. I think there's 7,000 people on board. Average age is 18 and a half.
Yes, sir.
The person running the ship both times at the time was 23 years old. She was a lady.
Yes, sir.
And these planes are landing $100 million machines. One person does one thing wrong, disaster.
Yes, sir.
You talk to any astronaut, they'll tell you the hardest thing they ever did was landing a plane on an aircraft carrier at night because the lights have to be off. Talk to us about the job these kids do on these carriers.
When you raise your right hand and you take an oath, right then and there, certain expectations are presented before you, and you're tasked and obligated to live up to those expectations. For every young sailor, for every young Marine, for every soldier who's on duty, who's performing their job, they know their expectation. When you have the life of, as you mentioned, Jack, 7,000 military members basically under your decision, whether you make a wrong turn left or right, that's an expectation or that's a honor that is not taken lightly in the military. The military does an excellent job of incorporating that pride within every individual person that really allows them to do the best and be the best they can.
These kids are out for 3 months, 6 months at a time. Six of them are in this little cubicle, right, with drapes. The bunks are three high. No hot water for showers?
Sometimes. That is correct.
Amazing. A few years ago, I had another great experience. I went to Walter Reed Hospital.
Yes, sir.
With Brigadier General Jack Nicholson. And when you go to a military hospital with a brigadier general, you get the best treatment. And we walked into 24 different rooms of young veterans who were recovering. And everyone that had all their limbs said, "Brigadier General, I have one goal." My team was 24 when we went over. With my being here, we're down to 19. I got to get back with my team. The ones that were missing limbs, one goal. My team, their deployment ends October 18th. I'm going to be on that tarmac at Lansdorf Air Force Base in West Germany when my team lands, saluting them. How do you explain that?
The word that you used here, team. Once you're part of the team, you know you have an obligation to that team. Be it if you're away, especially if you're there, you have an obligation to that team. That team undergoes so many things together, starting with the training, starting with the commitment, the first battle, the first operation, that once you experience that and the moment that you're assigned to a team, it becomes your second family. just for example, anyone who has a family, you want to be there for your family. It's the same way with the team. And for these young men and women, a lot of them who are coming from broken families, a lot of them who haven't really had a chance to maybe get that love from their family, Jack, I can assure you, when they become part of a military team, the love is there, the respect is there, and the commitment. So be it if you're sick, if you're wounded, if your team is coming back, not only do you want to see the team, you want the team to see you, as if nothing else but to say, I'm okay and I'm still with you.
When I'm around somebody that's been in the military, the phrase, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, it's genuine. And whether it's the president of General Motors, whether it's the mayor of Detroit, or whether it's a cleaning woman at Cranbrook, it's genuine. Why?
Well, for me, sir, I can simply say that to be trained to be respectful, to be wearing a uniform that really promotes the respect, for me, it's just a simple matter of giving that respect. And as you mentioned, be it a janitor, be it a young person, for me, the words, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, is just my way of saying that you have my full attention. I respect whatever it is that you do. And it's just a way for me, instead of giving a military salute, to say thank you. Yes, sir, yes, ma'am, is just my way of saying you have my full attention, and I'm happy that you will at least acknowledge me. So,
we're talking to Dr. Terrell Taylor, and for the last 3 years, he's been the director of Horizon Upward Bound in Cranbrook Schools. Well, when we come back, we'll talk to him about that. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Dr. Darrell Taylor. Life is a series of chapters. And when one door closes, God has another chapter. No two are alike, but the next one can be just as grand as the last one. So you end a 30-year military chapter, world class, how you rose, and then that program that you went to as a kid in 1967 hires you to be the director. That's unbelievable. How do you explain that?
Well, sir, the best way I can explain it is, in my life, I realize, I understand that I owe a lot of people. Owe my father, owe my mother. I owe a lot of people who believed in me. I owe Cranbrook School, I owe the military, and the bottom line is I owe the country. So when Denise and I, we decided to retire in 2010, for me it was always a way of, now that I've paid the debt, or I've tried to pay the debt back to my country, it's time for us to go back to the cities, to the neighborhood. Cranbrook School, as you mentioned, it just happened. I really was not looking for that position. It just happened. And as you mentioned, sometimes God opens up a chapter for you. And I believe that this was a chapter he opened up for me. The first thing I did, I asked my wife, I said, what do you think? And she smiled at me and she said, you know where your heart is and what you need to do. So once again, Jack, for me, the Cranbrook is just another way I can repay back this enormous debt that so many people have placed upon me to be the best person I can, but more importantly, to help all those others around me.
Dr. Darrell Taylor, tell us about Horizons Upward Bound, the HUB program.
Sir, this program changed my life, and it changed the life of so many other young men and young women. Horizons Upward Bound, located at Cranbrook School, is a program that helps low-income first-generation kids in the Detroit metropolitan area. The beautiful thing about Cranbrook is that this program started in 1965. It was modeled after a program out east called The Better Chance, but Cranbrook put a different twist on it. Cranbrook was not recruiting at that time young males to attend Cranbrook. They were trying to develop leaders to go back into the public school system. Once again, started in 1965 with 52 young men, 52 young men who had promise, who had potential. I can tell you right now, sir, I was not in the original class in 65, but I keep in touch with a lot of those members, great citizens. Most of them have been loyal to Detroit. They still live here. They've been very successful. And now you can see the ripple effect with their kids, with the next generation. So Cranbrook formation of Horizons Upward Bound, in my mind, has played a key role in helping not only the cities of Detroit, Pontiac, so many others, develop a very good group of young men and women to become good citizens.
If you want to learn more, www.schools.cranbrook.edu/HUB.
Thank you, sir.
If somebody wants to get their kid into the program, how do they do it?
And that's a question we hear all the time. We are funded by federal money and private money. Because of that funding, we have certain requirements we must meet. We have certain target areas, certain schools. If we have a good candidate who will meet our criteria and they are located in the target area, they are more than welcome to apply, and we will actually seek them out. The problem we have, Jack, is our program has been so successful and people know so much about it that we'll get a young person in the ninth grade, which is the year we recruit, who, let's say, is attending West Bloomfield Hills. Well, West Bloomfield Hill has a reputation where that young man or woman will be getting a good education. We're focused on being in those schools that, quite frankly, the city has given up on, or they're having difficulty, and this is according to the federal government, they're not proficient in certain areas. We want to go to those schools and make a difference.
You say Hub changed your life. Another thing it did was it introduced you to a lady named Denise.
Mrs. Taylor.
Okay, and you refer to her as Miss Taylor. She rules your world, of course.
Yes, sir.
Why do you call her Miss Taylor?
Well, Jack, for me, I call her Miss Taylor because to this day, I miss my mother. And in calling Denise Miss Taylor, to me, that's the highest compliment I can pay to her and my mother. She will be the last Mrs. Taylor in my life, and she knows how much I love my mother, and that's the best way I can remind her every day how much I love her.
A couple months ago, I was honored to have Dr. Ben Carson as a guest. Phenomenal human being.
Yes, sir.
Also from the inner city, right?
Yes.
Didn't know his dad. Mom, I think, was one of 13 kids, married when she was 13, third grade education. And Dr. Ben Carson's mom is his hero. And he says that he has a brother, that she believed in the two of them. She had phenomenally high standards. And she never allowed excuses. They could never make an excuse, and she never made an excuse for them. Talk to us about moms, especially single moms, not making excuses or allowing excuses.
I can definitely relate to Ben Carson's opinion about his mom. My mom was similar in the fact that she understood that there were a lot of opportunities out there. And for us, there was no excuse why we couldn't achieve what we wanted to achieve. If we received a B, and Lord, no, we didn't want to have a C, it would be tough in the household. She had her expectations. And my mom, she was able to graduate from the eighth grade, But she knew that she wanted more for her family. I don't mind telling you that my mother, she ran the household. My father was a factory worker who was really trying his best to take care of the family. But it was my mom who basically had the vision that she wanted her kids to be better. My father, I learned in college that he couldn't read, or he struggled to read. And that was a motivating factor. But it was my mom, truthfully, who held us accountable, who had the vision of what she wanted her sons and daughters to be. And as I'm sure Ben Carson understands, this is why I owe her so much, and this is why I have those same expectations of my two daughters.
You grew up in the inner city of Detroit. You're also the JV coach for Cranbrook Schools.
Yes, sir.
Where did you ever learn to golf?
I learned to golf after both of my daughters graduated from college because, quite frankly, I had the time to learn. Once again, the great thing about Cranbrook School is that I'm allowed to get involved in so many different things. Let me just say this about the students at Cranbrook, because this relates exactly to the HUB program. With our students, we're always looking for tutors, and we're always looking for ways to help meet our students' needs. The kids at Cranbrook, we're very fortunate that they will come on Saturdays and during the summer and help us as far as tutoring some of our kids. And so for me to help out with JV golf, once again, is just my way of saying thank you and just my way of trying to equal the payback from the Cranbrook students.
You're around young people every day.
Yes, sir.
What do our young people really want and need today?
They need us to set high expectations and hold them accountable. High expectations and hold them accountable. High expectations without accountability, you're going to get bad results. I think what we sometimes forget about our kids is that we have great kids right here in the United States. If we will challenge them and hold them accountable, you'll find out not only will they meet those expectations and pass the challenges, they will ask and demand for more. One of the things I'm particularly proud of with my HUB kids is every summer, every year they come out, they know we raise the challenge, and they exceed it every year. Our theme this summer was, it's not about believing, it's about doing. And every day I challenge them to be better. I'm a firm believer that every day you don't stay the same. You either get better or you get worse. We want our kids to get better every day. And when you challenge them to get better every day, they will not disappoint you.
We're talking to Dr. Daryl Taylor, and I'm Jack Crystal, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Masula, and we're with Dr. Daryl Taylor, the director of Horizon Upward Bound out of Cranbrook Schools. If you want to learn more, www.schools.cranbrook.edu/hub. You mentioned that in the military, the sense of belonging is huge. For so many young kids today, they don't have that sense. With this texting and everything, they can be so to their self. Why is that sense of belonging so important?
For me, Jack, as we try and teach our kids to discover who they are, and we talk about reading, we talk about having math skills, for me, the most important thing and the thing that really changed my life is having a sense of belonging. Belonging to something greater than that which is in your neighborhood or within your household. To be a citizen of the greatest country in the world, in my opinion, provides you no excuse not to be who you want to be. I think one thing we lack in the education of our kids is the fact that we have to let them understand and realize that they are a citizen and they need to be an informed citizen. I think once people start understanding that as a citizen of the greatest country in the world, you've got this feeling where even if your neighborhood is small, even if your school is not the best, you have the potential because of the rights and the successes here in America where you can go on to be the best you can be. So the sense of belonging, I think, is key. I think the military, they recognize that it's not about being one member of the team. It's about being a team.
As I've observed and learned about Hub, Cristo Rey High School, Cornerstone, University Prep, Beyond Basics, on and on and on, one common thing that all of these educational entities have is there's an adult mentor tied to the student. Why is that so important?
I think it's important not just to have one mentor. For me, no truer words than it takes a village. My belief is that you really need to provide that kid with the group of resources where he or she knows they can go to anytime. Often with the mentor, none of us perfect. Oftentimes, if John or Susie will call us at 12 o'clock at night and we've had a hard day, then we might not really be there for John or Susie. I like the concept of having a group as mentors because if Johnny or Susie can't reach you, they can reach someone else. But once again, I think our kids, they're visual, they're auditory, they want to see it and they want to hear it. So the more mentors, the more groups we can get to talk to our kids, to let them know that they can do it, I think the more successful our youth will be.
When they make a movie someday about the life of Dr. Daryl Taylor, one song that will play during that movie is The Impossible Dream. Talk to us about dreaming the impossible.
For me growing up, it was always about dreaming. And it was always about dreaming because it was a way for me to escape. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I had a bad life. I had a tough life. But in terms of dreaming, that allowed me to see things that I couldn't visualize in the immediate vicinity. It's funny you should mention The Impossible Dream because Don Quixote, he was one of my heroes. I must have read that book so often. And the thing that really appealed to me about Don Quixote was the fact that he fought the impossible fight. He loved the impossible love, but he believed in his quest. I think we all have a quest. And I think when you open yourself up to that quest, the dreams that you might at one point think are impossible, now you start believing in that quest. And that's what happened to me. I started believing in my quest.
Success is a journey, not a destination.
Yes, sir.
Are America's best days still ahead of it, Dr. Taylor?
I think America's best days are still ahead, but I also think America has some challenging days ahead. I think our youth, they need to understand that they will be asked to do more and perhaps with a little less. But once again, we are still the greatest country in the world, and we need our youth and our veterans to maintain that sense that we are the best. And that's going to require dreams. That's going to require hard work. That's going to require extending that hand of friendship, and it's going to require paying back.
Dr. Taylor, many young people, let me correct myself, many people today are afraid. The uncertainty. They've lost their mojo. What do you say to those people?
Fear is a part of life. Fear is good. Fear enables you to bring out the best that's within you. In golf, no matter what, I want my girls to be fearful, because now I know that in terms of accepting that fear, they can be the best. In the military, we know the odds. We know the potential outcomes. We go into battle. We'll go into an operation scared, fearful. That's human. But what's also human is to reach down and find somewhere within the soul, somewhere within the depth of your heart, that courage to overcome the impossible. So what do we need? We need to recognize the fear, but we also need to recognize that we're the best in the world and we have the courage to overcome no matter what happens.
What role has faith played in your life?
Sir, when I look at my life, I can sum it up. It has to be faith. To have a young African-American kid from the projects, now as the director of Hub, to have a successful career. In Greek days, they used to think that your life was predestined. Some other philosophers would think that you had a chance to determine your life. I think it's a mixture of both. And no matter what you believe in, I think if you could open up your heart and look at the various signs or the indications around your life, I think somehow you can call it faith. It'll show you the direction.
As our time winds down together tonight, what advice to give to our young listeners?
Keep that courage. Keep the belief that we live in the greatest society in the world, no matter what difficulties you're facing, and trust individuals around you. You will have people who want to help you, who believe in you. Open up your heart, open up your mind, and read. A good reader, a good informed citizen, will be a very productive citizen. So with reading, with courage, with belief, Jack, we'll be fine.
You use the phrase "yes, sir" and "yes, ma'am" hundreds of times a day. Your mom in heaven, thousands of times a day, says, "That's my boy. That's my son." Keep making her proud every day.
Thank you, sir.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahome.